back in Berlin. It's a sunny afternoon in my flat. The flat seems incredibly luxurious after Tokyo because there's so much space. And my rabbit is kind of hyperactive. Topo is hiding under a table, attacking a cardboard file holder. He's actually ripped it to pieces. Looking a little bit guilty, but not as guilty as he should be. I think later when Hisai gets back from her language classes, we'll be going to Kreuzberg, to the Turkish market. Le polisson de la chanson. Tous les samedis je vais à confesse. Standing on the Karl Marx Allee, this is one reason I'm moving out of this street, because it's just six lanes of traffic, very noisy. I can see the TV tower from here at the end, and the Stalinist architecture. It's kind of overwhelming. Down in the U-Bahn, this is the U5 line, we're heading out to Kreuzberg, and I've just been listening. I've been listening to grime, or watching grime videos on the net. Very nocturnal, scary London urban feeling. Berlin, I guess the closest we have to that very urban ethnic feeling in Berlin is Kreuzberg. So we'll see some Turkish people. They probably won't be doing grime tracks though. Sitting on the train, there's a Berliner Fenster, which is a mixture of advertising and public information about the city. And they just had an item saying that the oldest known German has just died. That's an old lady who's 111 years old. There was also an ad for a slam poetry DVD launch party at Bastard Club. I haven't seen any slam poetry here, but seems to be big. We're going to the food market on the Martin-Ufer Canal, and I think it's there's going to be some. We're also going to the supermarket called Tekmer, which is a big Turkish supermarket. I always hear really good music in there. And the other place I hear great music is the Thai supermarket on Alexanderplatz, where we often shop. Fantastic, kitschy synth pop with lyrics in Thai or in French on top. Hisai is learning German at college. What did you learn today? Which parts of speech?
In the beginning, we reviewed alphabet, like how do you spell? I mean, like Hisai is like H with tension or whatever.
Ah.
And then one of my classmates, Spanish guy called Carlos, he complained to the teacher that we've done the same things before. And actually we have a different teacher only on Thursday and Friday.
So the teachers are going over the same material without coordinating?
Yeah, but we only did like for 2 minutes, 3 minutes, so it was just a review.
Wow, what a good distortion, like someone's telephone is distorted.
And the guy called Carlos, he complained her about it, and the teacher, this one, is very aggressive, so she got quite angry.
Oh dear.
And then they had an argument like 20 minutes.
So what, wasting your time as pupils, 20 minutes of wasted time.
And then Carlos left.
Oh yeah.
Went home, and then she was still angry, so she asked us why you are studying German, and then each of the student has to say, but she said that that's not enough reason.
Not a good reason.
And one of the guys said, The one that guy, a Korean guy, said that he wants to get an international driver's license. That's the reason he's studying German. And the other one, he's Arabic and he's got a German wife, so he wants to learn German. He wants to live here, so that's why he's studying German.
So would that happen in Japan? Would the teacher get angry with the students?
Sometimes they fight, especially at the age of like 12, 13, 14.
One of the things that people know about the Berlin subway system, even if they're not in Germany, is that it's free. Which is not true, of course, but there are no barriers. It's kind of a trust system, and there are inspectors, so you kind of play a Russian roulette with the inspectors. You might get caught, or you might get away with it. The fine is 40 euros if you get caught, and it's 2 euros for a trip like the one we're doing just now. Watching the monitor here, they just had a picture of North Korea, and at first glance it looked exactly like a picture of some Albert Speer type architecture with red banners hanging down. You had to look twice to see that the red banners were not in fact German. Julian Cope, or somebody calling himself Julian Cope, signed my blog the other day and said I should look him up at the some hotel, and I've tried the number, and they say they have no guest by that name, so he's either using a pseudonym, or he's not there, or it wasn't him, or I don't know, but might be fun to meet up with him. We're now at Schönleinstrasse, which is in Kreuzberg. Quite a different atmosphere here, a different racial composition of the faces that you see down here in the subway, a lot of Turkish people. We come here because we like the Turkish food a lot better than German food. I'm still in the period of feeling that Berlin is exotic, so it's quite good for me to make these notes now. I'm still seeing it all with kind of fresh eyes after being away for a couple of months. But the focus of the exoticism for me is in the graphics. That's where I see its otherness most kind of clearly. So if I just look at the street signs here, it says Schinkerstrasse, we're on Schinkerstrasse. Just the typography of that, it looks very crisply German, rather, I don't know, 1940s or 1930s typography. Or looking at a packet of rabbit food we got today, we got a big bag of grass and it had a picture of a hamster and a rabbit on it. Oh, this flat where we actually looked at a flat on this street and it's still to let, and that's a bit suspicious. Why is it still to let? It was 625 euros a month. Quite a nice flat, and it's really close to the market, so it would be a great place to live. But there is something fishy about the fact that it hasn't been taken in 3 months. Here we are in the market. I always feel that this is it's got a very European feeling, although it's really a Muslim fruit and vegetable market. All the traders here are Turkish Muslims, but the women you see passing by are wearing veils. But this is how I think that Europe probably felt in the Middle Ages, and every market aspires to be in the Middle Ages somehow. Every market aspires to be a souk, and of course in the Middle Ages there were strong connections between Europe and North Africa, the Spanish Moorish connection and all the rest of it. So maybe that's quite appropriate. So it's olives, aubergines, rolls of cloth, cheap clothes. I often buy these really bad cheap clothes. Hisai was telling me off for having bought some trousers with, what did it say on the back? They had like gothic white type on the back saying, what did it say, victim or something? Not victim, but kind of crappy. Candy or something it said in gothic script. Here's some really tasty looking bread, Turkish flat baked bread with sesame seeds. These roll ones, no, I don't think I have. Yeah, and this actually that correspondence between the old European street markets and the North African or Mediterranean street markets reminds me that I really support Turkey's bid to become a member of the European Union, and that seems to be going ahead. They still have to meet the criteria, economic criteria, but politically it seems to be green-lighted now, which is good news. Part of the exoticism I'm noticing here is just the way people look. German people look kind of strange. They look a bit heightened. They're Caucasian, but they kind of all look a bit painted and a bit extreme and a bit expressionist. They look like Otto Dix paintings. What do you think when you see these women wearing veils and headscarves and sometimes total covering with only a little slot for their eyes?
Sometimes I envy them and I want to dress like that, but at the same time I think they are covering their face, which sometimes it's better taking off, showing how beautiful they are.
So they're not all beautiful under those veils.
So it's nice to hiding their fatty face, maybe.
But it's also nice to walk around with a kind of personal tent. Some of these burkas are like tents.
Mm.
We're actually walking in the bicycle lane here, which is a real no-no in Berlin. The bicycle lane is super sacred. There's a little old man on a bicycle wobbling up behind us. He's going to shout at us. I have to say, I think the Turkish people are much prettier, much nicer to look at than German people. We just passed a little girl wearing kind of woolen stripy scarf and hat matching very bright colors, a bit like you might see in a mountain village in Turkey somewhere, slightly shepherd style. The music's quite low key in here. We're in Tekmer now, the Turkish supermarket. I guess it reminds me of Greek music from when I was a kid living in Athens, but it's more oriental sounding, slightly more than the Greek music. It's very sentimental and full of passion, and makes a real contrast to the grime I was just listening to, because that was all just shouting about urban violence and stuff, and this is people talking about their heartstrings being plucked. Nostalgia for the homeland. I was wrong, there is actually some kind of rap in it, but it's a very Turkish kind of rap. I always get the same things. I get mostly tinned chickpeas here, because they have a firmer consistency than the German chickpeas, and they're much cheaper. It's like 69 euro cents for quite a big can of chickpeas. I'll also get some olives stuffed with garlic and some feta cheese. I really do go shopping not based on the food and the products on offer, but on the music they're playing in the shop, and you know, the Turkish pop music and the Thai pop music. I sort of imagine David Bowie's Lodger album being made this way, like David Bowie, when he lived in Berlin, went shopping and just picked up all this exotic music style. If you catch me doing Rising Intonations, yeah, it's because I'm anticipating Nathan Barley, yeah, which is on tonight, yeah. Actually, although we're laden down with bags of shopping now, mostly heavy cans of chickpeas and cans of feta cheese, we decided to take a little detour to the NGBK Gallery, which is a radical bookstore. There are many very lefty radical bookstores in Kreuzberg, and this one has a big gallery behind it. You often see really good exhibitions. The last one I saw there was about crime, art and crime. A lot of art pieces that, for instance, staked out banks, giving all the details of how you would rob the bank. Of course, it had to be illegal. There's a big opening this weekend at Kunstwerk, which is the biggest and best gallery in Berlin of, it's an exhibition about the RAF, the Red Army faction, the left-wing terrorist group that was very active in the 70s here. That's got a lot of, there's a big talks program and film screenings at Arsenal Cinema and stuff related to that. And it's been delayed. It was apparently very controversial. They had trouble raising funding. I think the government withdrew its funding from the show because it was terrorism, obviously a bit of a hot button issue. The gallery's actually installing just now. It's going to open tomorrow. Evolutionäre Zellen. I don't know what Zellen is. Evolutionary something. Kind of interesting, the new ID magazine is called The Feminine Issue, and it has an article called Showtime Valentine, which says, it's the hour of the girly girl, from blush pink bows to cheap frills and ruffles. A delicate, doe-eyed version of femininity is back on the menu. I had to run out of the bookshop because it was too embarrassing talking, reading bits of magazines into a camera. People were staring at me. But I got to see some interestingly dressed people walking by, and to examine the facade of the building across the road, which is the Oranienhof. Beautiful, I guess you'd call it Vienna Secession kind of graphics, and these very out of proportion statues of sort of Goliath types holding up the facade of the building. Then there was a man who came and stood next to me who was whistling a piece of classical music, really very German. I always find the really old people very eccentric and interesting and charming, but it's kind of scary to think about if they've lived in Berlin all their lives and they're, you know, 80 or 90 years old now. That means they lived through the whole Nazi period. They probably had some great stories to tell, though. We had dinner the other night with our friends Kari and Mika, who were actually leaving Berlin to go and live in Prague. And they've been having these conversations with their next-door neighbor, an old lady, who in fact might become our next-door neighbor because we might be moving into their flat now they've gone. She's like 90 years old and she's lived in Berlin all her life. But they didn't speak German and she didn't speak English, so she would just talk and they would listen, but they never knew quite what she was saying. So they decided on their farewell to Berlin dinner to invite this old lady to dine with us, to eat some lasagna, but she didn't want to come. She said she had to feed her cat. I think she was a bit ashamed. We translated by an interpreter, a German friend. Look, there's a mirror. Someone's throwing away a mirror.
It's not very nice to use broken mirror.
It's bad luck.
Yeah, and everything is connected to others, so if you have broken mirror, then you get something broken, or maybe...
Oh, really?
Affects to your relationship or your health.
Oh, well, better not mess with that. We just stumbled on the office for Lowdown magazine. This is one of these typical Berlin multiple courtyards, but one behind the other, with ateliers. It's kind of white glazed brick and very big windows with green painted panes, and just not... Low down online, low shop, off the wall shop. Oh, they have a shop on the fourth, courtyard A, fourth from the ground. We should have taken the lift. It's called Low Down, but it's actually very high up in this building. You have to climb up this dingy staircase. We climbed all the way to the top of that building and we couldn't find the Lodan shop, but I don't consider it a wasted trip because coming back out onto the Oranienstrasse, I saw the sign Smyrna. Just said Smyrna, it's a Turkish merchant, and I thought of the Smyrna merchant in the wasteland, T.S. Eliot. And then I saw a blackboard saying Linsensuppe, lentil soup. Just little words like that make your trip worthwhile. When you see, we're down in the subway and I decided to take the train. You see advertisements for instance, Ontario, the stillness of nature. There's a advertising for holidays in Canada. It's very German, the way they've slanted, the way they've chosen the picture. It just has these pine trees and a boat pointing across a glassy lake. I was noticing a poster yesterday for Ireland, and it had a picture of a rotunda with a dome in the middle of a deserted coast. and it looked also very German. There was a solemnity and a heaviness and a mysterious romanticism about it, something brooding about the scene. And they chose that to make people go to Ireland from Germany. It makes me think of Ossian and how there was a cult for Ossian in Germany. Ossian would write about Scotland, about, you know, Fingal's Cave or something, and the Germans would see Scotland as somehow more German than Germany. It's amazing what different personalities the different lines have. The U8 line, which we're on just now, is very cosmopolitan. I mean, it feels like a London train because you have a lot of people with different cultural backgrounds and ethnic backgrounds all mixed together. Whereas the U5 line, which is our local line, it's really very old German people or young people going to Friedrichshain. So they're kind of, I guess they're kind of, they can. They're yuppie-ish, but they all kind of look the same. It's the following day now, it's Saturday, and we're in front of the Kaufhaus des Westens, the KaDeWe, the famous department store, which is like the Harrods of Berlin. Crossing the street, I can see the broken church spire. This is West Berlin, this is very different. The Kurfürstendamm starts just at the end here. Just came out of the Wittenbergplatz station, which is historically preserved. It looks very 1920s. The first thing you see as you enter KDW, well, first of all, these classic 1920s German graphics, which I was talking about yesterday as the crystallization of the exoticism of Germany for me. But the first thing you see is a lot of pictures of Marlene Dietrich all around this central atrium, very glamorous studio portraits from various stages of her career. And also a lot of magazine covers, Look, Royal Secrets, Screenplay and Screen Book, a lot of magazine and also Paris Match magazine covers with Marlene Dietrich on the front. If she had nothing more than her voice, she could break your heart with it, says Ernest Hemingway of Marlene Dietrich. Even a little panel of her lovers, Dietrich's husbands and lovers. I wish I'd been recording at Alexanderplatz station, because there was a fantastic street singer there, very Brechtian, an old man singing with an accordion. Everybody here, all the ladies here are wearing fur coats, real fur. It's just a Berlin thing, I guess, but it's not a place to come if you're a fur protester or animal rights activist. When David Bowie lived on the Hauptstrasse, which is not so far from here, he and Iggy Pop would apparently come to KDW and just walk around the food hall and look at all the abundance of food and buy picnic hampers and I guess stock up the Mercedes to drive out to Warsaw or somewhere on a day trip to Poland and compose melancholy Slavic refrains about it when they got back. We're kind of beating a retreat now because we walked around the very heavily laden shelves of the food floor, the fifth floor of KDW. And there's such decadent luxury there. But everybody there is like 60 years old and they're slightly portly, and they turn up there on a Saturday with their friends and they sit for an hour eating some gourmet dish of, you know, herring and I don't know, smoked salmon and a little glass of beer, and they have this heavy perfume, so they're wearing these fur coats and they're heavily perfumed, and it's just it's terribly bourgeois in a very German way. Now we're in the Augsburger Straße and we're going to buy a kimono. Hisai needs this because she's going to be serving sushi in an art gallery opening as a little temporary job thing for 2 days next week. I think we just found a shop, actually. We just asked in a shop that were run by a typically ratty, middle-aged bourgeois West Berlin lady who was very unhelpful. But yeah, this looks like the right one here. Just thinking a bit more about these typefaces which I see and which are so evocative for me. There's one hanging on a banner across the road. It says Wertheim, and it just looks like a sans-serif face which is extinct in other parts of the world. Very heavy, crudely rather wooden sans-serif. That's a relief. We escaped from the chintzy shopping ambience of the Kurfürstendamm, and we're now in the cafe of the Schaubühne, which is the theatre directed by Sascha Waltz, very good choreographer. And I forgot to get a fork for my boulette. But the cafe here is filled with dramatic intellectuals, middle-aged men with glasses, intensely debating theatre. I'm just looking through the schedules, the schedule of premieres in 2004-2005. They're introducing Blasted by Sarah Kane. Sarah Kane, who committed suicide in February 1999. All her plays are now in the repertoire of the Schaubühne. Phaedra's Love, Cleansed and Crave, now Blasted. The plot of Blasted here, it says, Ian, a journalist, and young Kate enter a luxurious hotel room in Leeds. Ian is attracted to Kate, but she rejects him. During the night, he rapes Kate, and after she has run away, a soldier breaks into the hotel room. There is a war outside, and the hotel room is wrecked by a bomb. It's a cheerful piece. There's a premiere of Sascha Waltz's choreography piece called Europe 15 plus 10. These are the things that I come to see, because obviously I can't understand German. So I see the dance, and it says, in the context of Cultural Europe 10, new countries in the EU, Sascha Waltz is initiating the project Europe 15 plus 10. Choreographers and musicians from the acceding countries are invited to present, under the direction of Sascha Waltz, their own perspectives on European identity. The scenic framework to the project is created by the stage set to Sascha Waltz Inside Out. Oh, I see, so it's actually in the scenery that she made, this very elaborate architectural scenery for this fantastic piece Inside Out, which I saw three times with various different friends and family members. It's a huge architectural layout which you walk around and you see different dance performances happening in different corners of it. So they're getting their money's worth out of this set by using it for a totally different piece now. We're now on the S-Bahn running between Berlin Charlottenburg and Zoo Station and pulling alongside the Berlin Warsaw Express, which is always rather glamorous. Oh, it's a... The engine actually says Praha. It's actually a Czechoslovakian locomotive pulling the coaches for the Berlin Warsaw Express. Always seems a very exotic train to me. You can take... I think it takes 4 hours. It's now the evening of Saturday and we're heading out to some coordinated gallery openings at Janowitzbrücke. There's a bunch of galleries under the S-Bahn and they all open new shows at about the same time. Standing in Weberwiese station, and there's a white poster, it's a blank white poster, and it just says in red letters on the bottom, Gegen das Vergessen, Shoah.de. So it's against forgetting. And it's about the Holocaust. It's trying not to let the Holocaust be forgotten. So you never know what you're going to see at an art opening, or even a series of synchronized art openings. But
oh, hello.
Ah, Xavier. Salut.
Salut.
Je parle à des millions de gens ici. I'm speaking to thousands of people into this machine.
Okay.
Donc, tu es là avec Anne ou...
Non, elle n'est pas venue parce qu'elle voulait travailler.
Oui, oui, oui.
Mais moi, je voulais passer quand même.
Mais nous avons invité...
Oui, elle m'a dit, ouais.
Et t'as vu déjà...
Ouais, j'ai fait un tour, c'est rapide. Hein.
C'est rapide, ok. Donc, pas grand-chose intéressant.
Toujours mes dissuaderies, il y a toujours un truc à je mettre là-dedans, mais pour le reste...
Oui, ok, on va voir. Yeah, that was Xavier's Anne's partner, and we're just going to have dinner with them afterwards. Anne was going to come down here, but it was too cold, and she wants to do some work. So Xavier did a very quick tour of these openings. It didn't sound very interesting. Yeah, I was going to describe the setting. We're under the S-Bahn line here. We have some arched tunnel-like galleries. Let's look in this one. This is Max Hetzler. Across the river we have the Bivag power station with two brightly lit chimneys pumping out our electricity for this area. This is just one gallery with one huge painting of some silly squashed pumpkins. They look like, I don't know who it's by. yeah, the artist was called André Butze. Yeah, we're a bit like Xavier, we're doing this very quickly. But I guess the point of art openings is not really to look at the art, it's to hang out with your friends in the art community, and we don't have any apart from Xavier, so we don't have to do all that chit-chat. So this is Mehdi Chouraki Gallery. Everything here is very orange. It's got some cut-out relief shapes in lozenge-shaped canvases in orange and grey and white. Gerald Miller. Gerald spelt G-E-R-O-L-D. I don't know if that's an affectation or if that's the way the Germans spell that name. Next gallery, just moving from art to art, is Alte Gerhardsen. It says, by storm, torchlegged in storms. The door will not close. Hello. Here's a photograph, possibly digitally enhanced photograph of a pregnant looking woman, and then a video piece of some birds on a tree. It's backwards, it's a man putting leaves onto a tree. It's got the character of a film boards of Canada educational film, how to revitalize your plants. More of these digital pictures. I've actually seen this artist before. She does very clever Photoshop, just making the pictures slightly spookier. There's something slightly wrong about the posture or the body or the underwear. You'd have to say it's Cindy Sherman-esque, but in fact she looks a bit like Cindy Sherman too, but much more subtle than Cindy Sherman. There's no prosthetic masks or anything, just this very subtle distortion. And she's called Vibeke Tandberg. Vibeke Tandberg, I think she's Swedish. There's an S-Bahn train, and you can see the Spree River outside, very calm tonight, but very cold. There's an old man walking down the staircase. He's prosthetically made up, but kind of subtly. He has the same pot belly that she has in the photographs, and a kind of weird, lumpy, bald head. This is Carly Egebauer now.
Hello. Na.
Bottle for Becks. Everything looks very white and austere. I haven't seen any art yet. There's just one TV monitor in the corner. And it's showing action replays in slow motion. Football players falling down. It's a kind of football ballet. And then there's one little spy hole in the wall. People are queuing up to see it. The tension in the queue is unbearable, but people's faces as they walk away are kind of a little bit bewildered and blank. It's now my turn at the front, and it's an insect being filmed against the very blurry Super 8 a fly, which is always at the center of the frame. Yep. It's an insect flying around. I'm going to see the other ones in the next room. Oh, there's another cue for another people. The other one was good, actually. It was a very deep, brightly lit recess, a bit like a corridor in a Stanley Kubrick movie. Now we have two projectors pointing into a corner and showing a kind of angel. And that artist's name was Paul Pfeiffer, and the show was called Pirate Jenny, which is taken from the title of a Brecht song. Pirate Jenny is a character in Happy End, I think. Part two of Carly Egerbauer. Here we have a projector with a loop, a film of some people addressing a crowd, but you just see the tops of their heads and a kind of brilliant sky. Everything's very orange. And at the other side of the room is a video projector showing an insect again. A whole bunch of insects. Yeah, this is more of the same artist. More football choreography, this time still photographs. Kind of football ballet. I often find myself looking at the people at these openings and thinking, there's a couple of artists, typical Berlin artists, and they turn out to be English speakers. They're from London or somewhere, they're just visiting. I don't know if this other gallery is open, actually. I think it's, it looks like it's shut. I must say, I didn't find any of that super inspiring. Did you find anything interesting in that?
No, I want them to let me use one of those space to make it more interesting.
I could do better myself. So if someone gave you your own exhibition there, what would you do? How would you fill the space?
Yeah, I have it.
She can't answer that question on the spur of the moment. I guess it is a bit out of the blue. Back in the subway station now, Berlin is a parade of festivals, really. I mean, my hometown, Edinburgh, just has one or two big ones, all in the middle of summer in August. But here they are. I just missed the Transmediale, which is the big media art festival. And then the next one this month is Metz Musik. That's March music. And then after that, it's, I don't know, the Design May, I guess, is the next one in May. The whole of May is given over to a huge number of design events scattered around the city. Pooh, we just passed some really smelly homeless people with their inevitable dog. I remember the first time I went to some openings at Janowitzbrücke. It was seemed very exciting and very vital. That must have been in the late 90s, maybe in 98, 99. And you wonder, is something wrong with my eyes? Have I changed, or has the art scene changed? Maybe it's a bit of both. That's something I've noticed a lot. When you live in a city, nothing is ever quite as exciting. There's nothing quite like arriving in a place. Say you're on a rock tour or something, you arrive in a city and you get taken to all the most interesting places, and you kind of assume that they're the norm. And you're also seeing them at their peak. Maybe that year they're at their peak. And then you come and live in the city, kind of glamour, and it's never quite as exciting. And you often stop going out altogether. But I don't know, it might just be getting old. Oui, en fait, non, en fait, c'est pas direct. On est avec Anne Laplantine dans son appartement. Hello, Anne Laplantine, this is your working space. This is your studio?
Yeah, that's my studio.
It's really messy today.
It's also called the room. Oh, if you have seen it this morning,
you can't believe
it was really like a total trash can.
So what, can you play us this music you're working on? What does that sound like? I see you have SoundForge.
The music I'm playing now is not music from me, but I decided somehow to try to play really much more better guitar.
Play better guitar?
So I get a bit traditional now.
Traditional guitar music.
And so I try to play this song from Asurochi, and that's very difficult because I just start, and of course this guy was playing probably after
who,
being
who's
played
this by?
Asurochi.
S-E-R-O-G?
Yes, S-E-R-O-G.
S-E-R-O-G.
African guitar. I play
tulip.
So I suppose before playing this, you probably played 30 years non-stop. So, I mean, I've played
you,
I think, 6 months.
You won't get it.
And that's beautiful. And...
This is you playing or him?
No, no, that's him.
It's him, right?
Yeah, I mean, it was me. But that sounds a bit the way I prepare the tunes and the way I try to make the rhythm, so that's why I'm very touched by what she's doing.
It sounds quite simple, though. It's not very technically difficult.
Yeah, but then after it becomes quite difficult, actually. Okay, the beginning is okay, but she's got a certain groove that I don't have, also, and I don't know. And she has started to be specifically difficult.
I suppose you're singing, right?
And then he managed to sing at the same time.
And I suppose a new guitar at the market, the Boxhagener Platz market, it's a very nice sound. Much nicer than my old guitar. So I'm playing it more now. John Fahey, there's so many Johns, guitarists called John, like John McLaughlin and people like that. So you're not into grime anymore?
Yeah, I mean, because
I asked you this morning, yesterday, what you'd recommend for grime artists. I had to do so much research on Google, I found all these grime things and did a blog about grime today.
Okay, this morning I was listening to the most famous people. I brought some records from in London. That's Wiley and Dizzy Rascal.
Dizzy Rascal, yeah.
And it's nice, very nice. And I've got this
I quite like that Wiley track Pies. Do you have his track Pies?
I don't know the name.
It's just about how he likes eating pies. Although it's probably some drug reference or something.
But just like small songs.
EP.
But here I've got a big compilation that I think you don't have.
I still haven't heard Eskimo by Wiley. Have you got Eskimo? That's like apparently the track that founded the whole genre.
Okay, I've got a lot of MP3s that Alex
gave
me. A track
called Scotland, that's weird. A-side is called Scotland.
But that's really nice, but I just received an email from Alex who told me that yesterday he was at the grime party in London and they're quite violent.
Some people got hurt and stuff.
Yeah, they're really, they can be quite violent. He told me they had a fight. And
you have to queue for hours to get in because the security is so tough as well. Hey, did you enter our album for Ars Electronica?
Yeah, I do.
You did?
I'm doing it. It's not finished, but I will do it. I wrote something really not well written, very bad English.
That's good then.
About my position with that, but I also tell that if they want to check the website that you gave me, they can do it, and then they have you. Of you also.
Okay. Oh, that's why you wanted
to. Because I tell you we've been working with two quite different approaches.